The church of God is a separate entity, but it's made up of Jews and Gentiles. All of us are Gentiles. We are not Jews by birth. So we are Gentiles. We belong to nations outside Israel, and we have been born again. So God has constituted us into a body, both the Jews and the Gentiles. And that's what the Bible calls the mystery body of Christ. There are two mysteries in the New Testament, the mystery of God and the mystery of Christ. The mystery of God is Christ, and the mystery of Christ is his body. And the word mystery simply means covered or hidden. And these two mysteries have been unveiled in the New Testament. They have been unveiled. Father, we thank you, Lord. We bless you. Bless your name for today. Even as we come to listen to your word, we pray that you will help us to open our hearts to receive your word. I ask for your mercy upon my life, even as I talk about the church. And I ask for mercy for my hearers too. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for today, and today is 14th July 2018, or 15th July 2018, okay, 15th July 2018, and we've been talking about the church, and last week we talked about the increase that is of God. The increase that is of God. And today I want to talk on that which every joint supplies. That which every joint supplies. That is what I want to talk about today. And by way of recap, you know, last week we saw that there's an increase that is of God, and numerical growth is important to God. But that is not necessarily the increase that is of God. And I say that the church, the body of Christ, anytime it goes into decline, bloats. There's a bloating. But the bloating is not the increase that is of God. The growth that is of God is when the Christ content grows in individual members who make up the body of Christ. In other words, God measures the growth of the body, and we saw that the analogy that the Bible uses for the church, both that of the body and that of the building grows and the body also grows. And so today we are looking at how the body grows, so that which every joint supplies. Now, I said the body, and when I say the body, of course, I'm referring to the body of Christ. That the Bible talks about the body of Christ in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4 to 6. Bible talks about the fact that the mystery body of Christ, the mystery body of Christ, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5 to 3, 4 to 6. He was talking about the fact that the Gentiles and the Jews have been joined together to form one body or one entity which didn't exist. That's what we call the new creation. It's the joining together of Jews and Gentiles, you know. And it says that by which when you read, it was kind of a letter that he had written to them, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. In the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. Continue. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. Okay. So he was talking about the fact that the Gentiles and the Jews would be partakers of the same body. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32, the Bible says, give no offense either to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. So these are the three distinctions, you know, that the Bible makes on people living in this world. You are either a Jew or a Gentile, or you belong to the church of God. Now, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church of God. So if the church of God is a separate entity, but it's made up of Jews and Gentiles, all of us are Gentiles. We are not Jews by birth. So we are Gentiles. We belong to nations outside Israel, and we have been born again. So God has constituted us into a body, both the Jews and the Gentiles. And that's what the Bible calls the mystery body of Christ. There are two mysteries in the New Testament, the mystery of God and the mystery of Christ. The mystery of God is Christ, and the mystery of Christ is his body. And the word mystery simply means covered or hidden. And these two mysteries have been unveiled in the New Testament. We have been unveiled. We have come to know that the mystery of Christ is his body. You become a member of the body when you are born again. In 1 Corinthians 12, 13, the Bible talks about being baptized into the body. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. So by one spirit we were baptized, we were immersed or dipped into one body. That is what we call baptism into the body of Christ. So when you are immersed into the body, you become a part of the body. Now, it doesn't matter which part of the world you are part of the body of Christ. So all believers, all those who are born again all over the world, they are part of the body of Christ. When we say the body of Christ, we have the universal body, which is all believers worldwide. So when you are placed in the body, you become a member. You are a part or a member of the body. The body is many membered. Romans 12 verse 5 says that the body is one but has many members. Many members. So the Bible compares the body. Romans 12 verse 5. Bible compares the body to the body of Christ to the body of a human being. You know. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. So we are connected. We are connected. And then we form one body in Christ. Now, the body grows, that universal body, that corporate body grows. According to the Bible, according to Ephesians 4:15, the body grows. It grows by itself, you know. And the body grows when the individual members of the body grow. When there's growth in the members, the individuals, when they are growing, then the body is growing. That is how we measure, or God measures, the growth of the body of the church. Not when people are added, but when the members are growing. In Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11, let's read from verse 11. I want to show you something. Ephesians 4, that's where I picked the title from. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying. The word edify comes from the word edifice, which means a building or a structure. So for the building of the body of Christ. Okay. Till we all, you see, so it's a corporate thing. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Now, to a perfect man, the perfect man he's talking about is a matured man. And that's not talking about individuals, talking about the whole body becoming a matured man. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, so All of us as a body, God measures our growth. And when you add all the various anointings, all the various giftings in the body together, it is equal to the anointing that was on Jesus. The anointing that was on Jesus, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power. Not the Holy Spirit alone, but with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all those who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. If you combine all the various anointings and offices and giftings in the body, it's equal to the anointing that was on Christ. So there has to be a culmination or amalgamation of all the anointings and all that. And when we are growing individually, then the body is growing. So it will come to a point where we all will come to the unity of the faith, and we all will attain to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is why we are called his body, the body of Christ. Now, come down. Come to verse 14. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of the two plotting. Okay, continue. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom is from Christ. He said that we grow up into Christ. Then from Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. So the whole body is joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the building of itself in love. The word edifying is the word building. Okay, so it means that we are all connected, joined to the head. Now, we have to grow into the head first, and then we have to be joined and knit together with other members of the body. So there are two things. So we grow vertically, then we grow horizontally. Now, the more we grow into the head, the more we also are connected to the body. So you cannot say you are connected to the head, but not to the body. No. As you get connected to the head, that is by being born again, every member of the body is connected directly to the head. Every member. If you are a new believer, if you are a day old in the Lord, you have direct, unhindered access to God. You don't go to God through another member. No member grows on another member. We all have direct link to God. So in other words, no branch grows on a branch. The vine, the branches of the vine are attached to the vine directly. But as we derive nourishment from him, the head, and we grow into him, in other words, we grow in the spirit, then we are also being joined to the body. And we are connected. And as we go, we see that we are connected by ligaments. I will define all that by ligaments. So each member, okay, let's read Colossians 2:19 also. Colossians 2:19. Okay, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. So you see joints and ligaments. The body is nourished and then is knit together by joints and ligaments. And the head, it all flows from the head. So the nourishment comes from the head, but then the body parts are also joined and knit together by ligaments in the body. And that's what causes the increase that is from God. The increase that is from God. Okay. So each member is connected to the head for growth and then to the body for impact. Each member works with and for the whole body. In other words, whatever you do, you are working for the entire body. Because you are just a member, a part of the body. If you write something and it is beautiful, we are not going to praise your hand. We are going to praise the entire body. That, oh, Emma, your handwriting is beautiful. We will not say, Emma's hand, you have done well. Whatever you do, what your hand does, it does for the body. What your hand does negatively, it does against the body. So it's a serious thing to be baptized into the body of Christ. Now, every member of the body is endowed with grace. Grace means ability. Every member of the body, every believer, you are endowed with grace. When you come to Ephesians 4:7, the apostle was talking about, as we have received grace, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So every member has grace or ability. The word grace means ability. It means ability. Now, he's talking about a gift or an ability that God has given. When you grow into the head, your grace is released to the body. So as you grow into the head, as you grow in the Lord, the grace that God has given you according to the measure of Christ's gift, that grace is supposed to be placed at the disposal of the body. So 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each of you have received grace, so minister. As each one has received a gift, grace, minister each one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The manifold grace of God is the many-sided grace of God. So you receive a side of God's grace. I'll receive a different side of God's grace. It's manifold. It's like a dice. It has many sides. So the side you receive, I will not receive. The side I will receive, you will not receive. So I must minister my grace to you, and you must minister your grace to me, so that the body is nourished and the body grows by itself, by building up itself, by the ministry. And you will be able to minister to me as you grow into the head. Hello? So as you grow into the head, then your grace is released to minister to the body. In Ephesians 4 verse 16, it says, as every part does its share. That is when the body grows. The body builds itself. Which every part does its share. You see, so when you do your share and I do my share, it causes growth. The body grows by itself. It edifies itself by every member doing its part. Every member doing its part. Now, the next thing is that it is God who sets us in the body as he pleases. 1 Corinthians 12:18. I'm talking about that which every joint supplies. 1 Corinthians 12:18. Now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. So it is God who places us in the body. That's why I said that. You see, when you are baptized in the body, as you grow into the head, God himself will set you in the body. He is the one who sets you. In other words, it is God who determines your function. It is God who determines your placement in the body. It is God who connects you to the local body. I've talked about the universal body, and I'll talk about the local body. So this one talks about our giftings, our place, our function, and our connection to the local body. Now, we have the universal body of Christ, which is believers worldwide. Then we have the local body of Christ, which is the particular body that God will set you in. Because the church is big. The church is big. And for you to contribute your part, God will place you in a local setting where your grace will be released to minister to the body. Now, as you are ministering to God and to the body in your local setting, you are touching the entire body of Christ. Yes. You are touching the entire body. You see, there's a principle that states that If one member suffers, the whole body suffers. If one member does well, the whole body does well. So, sometimes what happens is this. When God wants to start a revival, for instance, God releases revelation into the body. There are many things that you may think that you are hearing it for the first time from God, but it has already been released into the body somewhere. Somebody in another part of the world has received that revelation, has released it. Once he releases it, it is released into the body. So people will pick it up. That is how anointing and revelation, that's how they circulate in the body. No anointing is coming down from heaven again. Hello? When the Holy Spirit came, he came. He has come, already come. So there's no anointing coming down from heaven. The anointing that you receive is the anointing that God has already released into the body that is going around. That's why sometimes you will see somebody who come and lay hands on you. It's not that the person is imparting something, you know. It's like the anointing is moving. It's just that the same anointing is just going around. So that you cannot say that, as for you, nobody anointed you, it came straight from heaven. No, like the Holy Spirit has already come. He's here with us. Till Jesus comes, he's here. So the Holy Spirit is not coming from heaven anymore. When we pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit, he is not coming from heaven. He's already here. Hello? He's already here. So you would rather receive. God does not give again the Holy Spirit. He has already given him. So you do the receiving. You do the receiving. That's what it is. So that all that you need to function properly as a member, God has released into the body. When you are properly connected to the body, you can pick up messages, signals, you can pick up anointings, you can pick up many things. If you are properly connected to the body, your first connection is to the head, but that is not enough. You cannot say, I'm born again, I don't need the church. No. If you are born again and joined to the head, then you must also be joined to the body. And I'm saying that the way you are joined to the body, the way you connect with the entire body, is your connection to the local body. Hello. Okay. So, what comes to the growth of the church is how the members individually are growing into the head and also being properly joined to the body. So whether it's a building, whether it's a body, the idea is God is joining us. If it's a building, he's cementing us. Bible says we are all living stones. Now, God's purpose is not to heap up stones, not for a pile of stones. No, his purpose is for a building. So he takes this stone and he cements this stone to that stone, and then he builds, then he inhabits the building. So I would say that you are all spiritual stones being built into a spiritual habitation of the Spirit. 2:5. For you are living stones being built together. So the stones, that's what God will take you, one stone, then he will put you together with another stone. And that is how a building is built. So if you were a stone and you were alone, you see, when you are born again, you are a living stone. But you cannot be isolated. For impact, you cannot make impact if you are alone. You need to be plugged into the body. You need to be joined to the body as well. Otherwise, you can receive nourishment, but your nourishment will not flow out, you see, and you will not make any impact. That's why we have to be also properly joined to the body. Throughout the Bible, what is about joining with regards to the body? Come to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. It's there. Okay, that one is there. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 1:10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Okay. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind And in the same judgment, he's talking about perfectly joined together. He was referring to the brethren, the believers, that they should be joined together. That's God's purpose. That's God's mind. We can also look at Ephesians 2, verse 21. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple. So the building will grow when they are fitted together. That's why I said the building grows, the body also grows. But here you're talking about joining, being fitted, the fitness principle, where this part will go into this part. It's like the plug and the socket. When they meet, then power is released. So when we see our part, we know the part that we are, and we know where we must fit, and if we are fitted, we are fitted together, then growth will come. Then impact will come. Then power is released. Hallelujah. Then also Ephesians 4:16, the one that we first looked at. Ephesians 4:16. Okay. It says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. So here it's talking about being joined and knit together as a body. Now, this happens after you have been joined to the Lord, the head. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, it talks about being joined to the head, being joined to the Lord. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. This one is the first thing. If you are joined to the Lord, you are one spirit. That's when you are born again. When you are born again, you are joined to him, the head. But then the other scriptures are talking about being joined to the believers, the body, fitted. That is what ensures growth. That is what ensures the release of power. When we are fitly joined together to the church. Hallelujah. So, the various parts of the body are held together. You know, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. But he will set you in the local aspect of the body where you will learn to, together with the saints, see, to comprehend with the saints. Come to Ephesians 3:18. Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we all, 3:18. Yeah, 3:18. Come to 17 first. That Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, the fullness of God comes when you are able to comprehend with all the saints, able to grow together with the saints. When you were able to do that, Bible says that you will be filled with, people will be filled with the fullness that is of God, the increase that is of God. When we are able to comprehend with all the saints, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, grow in understanding, in knowledge and grace, together with all the saints. It's a corporate thing that we all may arrive at the unity of the faith. It's a corporate thing. We all. See, God thinks about the body. That's why the Bible even said that he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues. Because the one who prophesies, he edifies the body. The God's emphasis is on the body, how the body will grow. Not on your individual growth. That one is important. But as you grow individually, then you are also being joined to the body for it to cause the corporate growth of the body, the corporate edification of the body. Are you getting me? So, now, when you look at the structure of the body, you will see that what gives you your structure is your bones. In Ezekiel's dream, vision, the Lord took him to a valley of dry bones. And the bones, the valley was full of bones, dry bones scattered. But when a word was released, the bones were connected. They were brought together bone to bone. In other words, God was aligning them, was assembling them together. So he would take this bone, and then this bone will go into this bone and will be locked. Then this bone will come and join, and this bone will come and join. So he was all the bones were being joined together till they form a structure. That was when he spoke again, then sinews, you know, and flesh, skin, came to cover the bones. Then he spoke again, then breath or life entered the bone. Then he said it was an exceedingly great arm, but there were bones. So Bible says that the whole body is nourished by joints and ligaments in Colossians 2:9 that we read. So they are nourished. So God will take you, representing a bone, will take you, representing a bone, that will bring all of you together. As you learn to grow together, not individually, but together, as you learn to grow together, that is when the power is released. As we all grow together, that is why we don't have to be selfish, because we have to wait for all of us to arrive at the unity of the faith. It is not about you, it's about the body. So how are we all going to arrive? Let me define a joint and ligament from a dictionary. A joint in the body is a place where two bones are connected. Where two bones are connected. So you say that which every joint supplies, the body grows by that which every joint supplies. Which means that when there is a connection, something is supplied. There is power in connection. Even our electricity, if there's no connection, you won't feel the power. The power is in the house, okay? But unless you put the plug into the socket, you can't feel the power. There's power in connection. Strategic, prophetic, supernatural, spiritual connection releases power in all aspects of life. He said, one shall chase 1,000, two shall chase 10,000. That is connection. If two shall agree, touching a thing, and they ask my father, it will be done. That is connection. When you are aligned, when you are connected, power is released. That is why he said, on the day of Pentecost, when they were together in one place with one accord, then the Holy Spirit came, because the connection had been established. There's a connection. You see, sometimes God may speak a lot of things to your life, but for you to get to that point, God may have to bring a connection. God will have to connect you to something, connect you to somebody, connect you to a system for what he has said about you to come to pass. Do you know why God brought Eve? Look how God told her. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Have dominion, subdue. All these nice things. God knew that Adam had to be connected. He was connected to the head, who is God. But he had to be connected to the body too, for fruitfulness to come. So if Eve didn't come into the picture, Adam would have died with all his potentials, never become fruitful. So God brought Eve and said, this is the connection. I've blessed you already, but you must be connected. So that's the joint. Ligament. So for the joint, so when you say out of joint in the body, it means that a bone is out of its correct position. A bone is out of correct position. Ligament is By dictionary definition, any of the strips of tissue in the body that connects various bones together that limits movement in joint and support muscles and other tissue. So a bone to bone is joint. A ligament connects the bone together. You said the body grows by joints and ligaments. Colossians 2:9. So the body grows, is nourished and joined and knitted by joints and ligaments. No, 2:19, sorry. Joints and ligaments. Then we have sinews. Say, and not holding fast the head, for whom all the body nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is God. So you can be a bone, you can be a powerful bone, but you need to be connected to other bones before the power is released. Before the blessing is released. That's why he said that. How good and pleasant, someone in the three. How good and pleasant it is for brothers to come together in unity. Continue. He said it is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garment. He's talking about placement, positioning. That's the beauty of unity. The reason why there's power in unity is because when there's unity, it means that the block has been joined to one block and it can contain the glory. It can contain the spirit. Because the spirit desires to live in the temple. But the temple is not a pile of stones. The temple is made up of stones that have been fitted together, joined together. So when God gets people who are joined together, he releases power. That's why he said, these people are one. And this they begin to do. And nothing can be restrained from them. What they have imagined to do. Nobody can restrain them from doing what they have imagined to do in Genesis chapter 11. Why? Because he said they are one. They are united. So, the joint is what produces nourishment. God will connect you. Sometimes there are relationships that are strategic and they are prophetic and they are divine. And they produce power. God will connect you to a person. Connect you to somebody. There are people that God will bring your way. That God will connect you because it's like this. A plug and a socket. That is why if you are a round plug, and you are forcing yourself into a square socket, you will not produce power because you are out of joint. There's no connection. That is the wisdom behind God placing us in individual ministries and churches, or connecting us to individual streams of grace. Sometimes you will see that you are a round plug, but you are forcing yourself into a square socket. So it produces frustration. Because it cannot generate any power for you to power your appliance. The square plug must go into the square socket. There are certain things that God has designed for other things. When you try to use it the other way around, you will generate confusion. That's why homosexuality and sodomy has brought a lot of confusion to the world, because God never designed those two paths to meet. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I should explain further. Yeah, it's a fitness principle. It will not produce life. It will not produce power. Are you getting me? Yeah, it will not produce power, not produce life, because it has been designed to fit into that. What God has designed for it to fit into, you see that the thing fits perfectly well because it is natural.
If you have to force and force, and it creates confusion, creates frustration, it's not of God. You see, not everybody can be your friend. If you are forcing friendship, forcing it, see, it's like marriage. If you are forcing, to be joined to somebody, it's not natural. There are people that you meet, then you flow into them naturally like that. That's what you do sport. You just flow like that. Fitted and joined together. Then you produce fruit. So a joint can be a relationship to the local body of Christ. Number two, a relationship to an individual. If you remember in 2014, we had 21 days prayer fasting. One of the prayer points, I've forgotten the particular day, one of the prayer points was that God will raise partnerships for ministry in the ministry. And what we meant was this: God can call you and you and put you together to come out with something that will be a blessing to the entire body. That's why even in a church, you don't just come to a church. There's a segment of the church that you can be plugged into to produce power. There are some people, when they come to church, they might be plugged into the prayer ministry. That's where they will function and produce power and produce fruit. Others might be plugged into the choir. That's where they can function and produce fruit. That's why God can connect people together to come out with a business. He will just touch your heart, touch their heart, come together. And that was one of the prayers we prayed under that heading. So that God will engineer, that God will orchestrate and will cause to happen individuals who come together for ministry and for business and for other things. Marriage also. So you must look out for the bone. The bone that connects. Right now, if you are in the body, maybe the part of the body that you are is in the hand. You might be connected. You see, the wrist is connected to the hand for power, for function, for impact. So if the wrist is connected to the head, it's going to be a monster because it is not fitted together and joined. That's what God, that is the picture I'm trying to paint. That relationships in the body of Christ, they are strategic. There was a reason why Paul went with Silas and not with Barnabas. At a point, when they started, it was Barnabas and Saul. At a point, they had to separate. The separation came as a result of argument and disputes. But I believe that they did not discern what the Spirit wanted them to do. That's why God caused that separation to come. So later on, Silas was converted to Paul. And look at the impact they made. Spirit relationship in the body, they are spiritual, they are supernatural, they are divine. That's why I said you can't join the church. You see, the body of Christ, we don't join, we are baptized into the body. We are baptized into the body of Christ. When we say, and the Lord added to the church, talking about those who were born again into the church, they were born again and they were baptized into the church. In the same way, God will connect you to a local body where you can be fruitful. Not everybody will be fruitful anywhere. I will prove to you. That's why if somebody tells you that you cannot leave this church, listen, if somebody tells you that if you leave this church, you are cursed, or if you leave this church, I will curse you, it's not biblical. It's not biblical. I will prove to you from scripture that somebody can leave one church and go to another church. If it is God. Because maybe that, the part of the body that you are, where you are not fitted properly, you are not growing. You are not growing. You are frustrated and you are struggling because it's like a square plug being plugged into a round socket. No fruit, no power. Every movement in the body must come from the head. It was God who caused the bones to connect with other bones. It's not the doing of man. It's the doing of God. It is God who will take this person's heart and say, you must go here. You must go here. So you see many people from different places coming together for God to inhabit them. It is the working of God. It was the Spirit of God that caused the bones to be connected to the bones. Ezekiel had to release a word from God. When that word was released, he said, I prophesied. When he prophesied, then the bones heard. There was a noise, there was a rattling, a shaking. Then the bones went bone to bone. Each bone knew supernaturally where it had to go to be connected properly as part of the larger body. It was a word, divine instruction that caused that. Divine instruction that caused that. Every movement in the body must come from the head. Because you are joined to the head before the body. So the head must direct you and lead you. That this is where I want you to be. Go here. This is where your bone has been structured to fit. It's like the puzzle. You can't take, let's say, a puzzle of the world map. You can't take Africa and put Africa in America's place. It's not possible. Or you put Africa in South America's place because they look alike. It's not possible. The African map looks like a question mark with a dot. Madagascar, you know. It's like a question mark. And but without the African map, you can't put Africa anywhere else other than where it has been designed to be put. That's how God sees it. It's like ministry. Everybody and the ministry that God has designed you to be fitted. You can't just troop into an office like that. No. That's why in the Old Testament, those who entered into the priestly office without invitation from God were killed. Because God doesn't like things that are out of alignment. When you are out of alignment, that's why he said, be properly aligned, rightly, discern the body of Christ. So revelation is what causes the various movement. The reason why we have a lot of frustration in the church is because people move not by God. Not by God. Not by God. There are all sorts of things that are telling people to different places. People don't ask themselves whether is it God who is leading me here? Where is God leading me? What are the signs? Am I forcing into it or I feel like I'm connected? You know, I've just plugged into something. In John 6:45, he said that all those who come to me, they shall be taught of my Father. Revelation is what causes movements in the body. As we grow in the Lord, we grow in the head. See, a time comes when, as you grow in the head instructs you. And that is what causes movement. You see, Paul and Barnabas, it got to a point, the only church was in Jerusalem.
Then later on, the Spirit led people like Philip and co. to establish the churches in other areas. When Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch, Bible says, while they ministered to the Lord, you see, the head, and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate now for me Barnabas and Saul to the work that I've called them. And so they called them, laid hands on them, and sent them away. That was God. It was God. Every movement should be called by a word. Ezekiel prophesied before the bones found each other. It is a word that will connect you to the proper place, connect you to the right person for impact. It's not everybody. For instance, let's say you are a preacher, you're a man of God. It's not every anointing that God will connect you to. So stop going around for people to all sort of hands to be laid on your head. There are certain hands that will come on your head. They will impact nothing. You are not connected to that stream. You are not connected to that stream. You are not connected. At best, they will stir what you have in you, but no impartation. There is a connection that God can establish in your life that will release the power of God, that will release fruits in your life. Now, let me talk about being joined to local church. Next week, I'll talk about the people that God can bring our way and the relationship that must take place in local church and in our Christian life. The local church is a picture of the universal church. And in the Bible, the local church was based on geographical location, not by doctrine. In Bible time, there was only one church. There was only one church. The church that Jesus Christ said, I will build. And the church that was in the upper room, that was the only church. And so the division of the church into branches was not a division into denominations or doctrine, but it was by geographical location. So they had the church in Galatia, one church per locality in the Bible. So Galatia had one church, the church in Ephesus, the church in Colossae, the church in Philippi, the church here, the church in Corinth, one church. The church in Antioch was the same as the church in Jerusalem. There was only one doctrine, one teaching that they were following. The reason why names came was because of false doctrines and because of the decline of the church. When the church went into apostasy and God brought restoration, God's mind was not to create camps and denominations and divisions. When God looks down here on earth, he does not see charismatic, Pentecostal, Presby. He sees the body of Christ. So that's why they divided the church by location, locality, not by doctrine. God, there was only one doctrine. But as time went on, you know, boundaries were erected and camps were erected. In the early church, there were no boundaries, no sects, no camps, no denominations, no divisions. They baptized people, but they were not called Baptists. They had the presbytery, but there was no Presbyterians. They had the gift of tongues, but there was no charismatic. They had their methods, but they were not Methodists. All those are human creations. They are human creations created by selfish intentions of men. Because the truth about baptism was not for the Baptist. It was for the church. But people encamped around that truth and said, we have this light. Nobody else is permitted to have erected a boundary around the light. It's like Peter said, Master, it is good that we remain on this mountain. Let us not go down there. Down there, there are people who are cripples and blind. They want healing. Let's remain here. The glory is here on the mountain. I will build 3 tabernacles. So talking about boundaries and denominations and camps. I will build 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. So before long, we'll have Moses' followers, Elijah's followers, Jesus' followers. Then Moses' doctrine, Elijah's doctrine, Jesus' doctrine. A time will come, Moses will replace God, will be a God to his followers, Elijah will be a God to his followers, and then Christ will be a God to his followers. That's what we have done to ourselves. So no wonder when God came on the scene, Bible says a bright cloud overshadowed them, and God rebuked Peter and go. He said, "This is my son. Listen to him." It's not about Moses or Elijah. It's about my son. Listen to him. Bible said, and when he lifted up his eyes, he saw no one but Jesus. God said, good boy, good. You have learned the lesson. You must see Jesus, not seeing Moses and seeing Elijah. It's Jesus. So, the gift of tongues, when it was released to the church, it was not God's intention to create charismatics. It is for the entire church. It's not the exclusive presence of a group of people who call themselves Pentecostals and Catholics. No, it's for the entire church. So, every believer must embrace the full counsel of God. If you don't believe in tongues, you don't believe in the worship of the Holy Spirit, you have not embraced the full counsel of God. Because when God started restoring the church, he restored justification by faith through Luther. He restored holiness through John Wesley. Restored brotherhood through other people. Then he restored the tongues through Azusa, Samuel and Co. So God was restoring to the church, not to a particular group. So don't say, as for me, this is what I believe. I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Methodist, I don't speak in tongues. It is for the body, not for a church. Are you getting me? So there was the charismatic gifts restored to the church. So every believer must embrace the full counsel of God. That's why if you want to connect to a group, you must judge whether they embrace the full counsel of God. Why is it that some people can say, we don't believe in the prophetic? As for us, we only believe in the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher. We don't believe in the prophet, the apostle. It's not the full counsel of God. Because the prophetic office is for the church, not for a particular group of people. The apostolic is for the church. So as a believer, you must embrace all these offices. So the end result is that we become people who love institutions more than Christ. And so we are resistant to the truth. Our hearts are hard to change. Somebody said that if people love their doctrines more than Christ, they call them rationalists. If they love ceremonies more than Christ, they are ritualists. If they love the work of the ministry more than Christ, they are legalists. And if they love the local church more than Christ, they are sectarians. So we must embrace the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. Now we have different names for different local churches. It was all because the church went into decline. And then God started restoring the church. But God doesn't know torchbearers. God doesn't know age. God knows the church in Kumasi, the church in Accra, the church in Ghana. That is how God divides the church, not by the name that we have. Those names are man-made. They are man-made. And I'm not saying God is against that. God's not against that. In the book of Revelation, there was a message for each church, unique message to the church, the angel of the church in Ephesus, right? The church in Smyrna, right? Pergamos, right? Every church had a message. So God is not against that. But I'm saying that how God sees us, you know, when you read Revelation, he said, when he went to heaven, he said, he saw the temple of God. That was all he saw. The temple of God. Didn't see churches. Saw the temple of God. So, the local church is a place of training. God will join you to a local church because you have to be trained. Training of the believer into full maturity. So that's where they are trained to find their place in the body, carry out the work of the ministry, and become full grown in character and responsibility. It is in the local church. That's where we learn to love. To look at you. So we come to a place where you see your Christian brother or sister as your real brother or sister. That is where God is taking the church. Where you see a believer, I mean, genuine believer, truly born again person, not those who say they're born again. Somebody who is born again, that this is my brother, this is my sister. He said, I don't know what you believe, what you don't believe, but I know Christ is in you. So you are my brother because Christ is in you. You are my sibling because Christ is in you. Not because I'm in the same church with you. Not because we all believe that the great tribulation will come before the rapture. Or God believe that you come after the rapture. Pre-rapture trip and post-rapture trip. People even have a mid-rapture trip. And it causes divisions and bitterness and acrimony in the church. Somebody says, let's baptize in the name of Jesus. Somebody says, no. Let's baptize in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Then it causes confusion, causes bitterness, and it causes acrimony. That's why I said, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Not union, unity. It's not that we are going to believe the same thing. As long as we are human beings, yeah? And you see, so Jesus comes. There is going to be different doctrines and all that. What you must do is to make sure that you embrace the full counsel of God. But there are always going to be differences. But that's not the division of the church. God divides the church based on locality, not on doctrine. Hello? The local church is the believer's first family. The believer's first family. The local church is the believer's first family. So the work is for you to be fully integrated in the church. So we see one another as family. That's why the Bible said that you shouldn't even take your Christian brother or sister to court. He said, dare any of you having a matter against a brother, take him to court before the world and not before the sin. He said, is there no wise person among you who can judge these matters? Why do you take your brother to court before the unsaved? Because we are one. Whatever you do against your brother, you do against yourself. That's the principle. Come to Ephesians 5, verse 25. Ephesians 5, 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love her. No, okay. Yes. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So we see that we are all bones. Then he puts the flesh on us. Oh yes, we are all bones. Then he puts the flesh on us, then we become a functional part. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. The body is made up of only three parts: flesh, bones, and blood. You are not the blood. Are you? The blood comes from Jesus. So we are the flesh. We are the bones. When the bones come together, then he puts flesh on us. He will pour out his spirit on all flesh. So here you see that. He said, he was talking about marriage and also the church. Then he said that if you hate your wife, you hate yourself. Why? Because the husband is joined to the wife. For this cause, a man will leave his father and mother and will be joined to the wife. In the same way, when you are joined to Christ, whatever you do against the church, you do against Christ, because he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Number two, whatever you do against somebody who is a believer, you do against yourself. That is why Paul said that if you are serving a believer, you are an employee, and your employer is a believer. He said, do it as unto the Lord, because those who benefit from your service are called and beloved. The joining connection is a very powerful and dangerous connection. Anything that is joined, because that's why he said that no one hates his flesh. If you hate your wife, you hate yourself. If you hate your brother, you hate yourself. If you sin against your brother, you are sinning against yourself. When it comes to dealing with members of the church, you have to be very careful. When it comes to dealing with your fellow believer, be careful. That is why the church of Corinth, Paul said that you are not discerning the Lord's body, because there's a lot of divisions and bitterness and unforgiveness. And so you go to the Lord's table and some fall sick and some die prematurely because of divisions and bitterness and unforgiveness. Why? Because what you do to the body, you see, you do to Christ. He said, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. So when Paul was stoning Stephen, he was persecuting Jesus. Because to touch a member of the body is to touch him. That's why, you see, he said, those who accuse, see, the devil accuses the brethren before God day and night. He uses fellow believers to accuse their brethren. It's a place where we carry out the ordinances of the law. The ordinances of the law. Look at it. So, God has places for individuals to flourish and to grow. That's why you don't just pick a friend. You must pick a friend by being led by the Spirit. You see, when somebody comes to a particular church, God, even in one church, God can connect you to somebody in particular in that church for effective growth. God does that. He's always joining. He's always, when God says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, he's talking about, you see, allowing God to assemble our parts, like we assemble car parts. This is the door. This is the windscreen. This is the mirror. This is the seat. If you take a typical car, you can have more than 1,000 companies coming together to form one car. If you really want to know where the car comes from, check the seatbelt. If you check the seatbelt, you know the origin of the car. But you see that the mirror comes from Uruguay. You see that the door comes from this place. You see that the indicators, they all have where they come from. And if you scrutinize, you see that it's written there, made in. So the car, those who made the car, they took various parts and they put them together. And now you sit in it and it's able to produce power. So God is assembling us together as different parts. That's why it's in the church that you can get enemies. Yes, because it's in the church that you must learn to love. If you cannot love those in the same group with, you can't love the body of Christ. Yes, it's in the church that you learn discipline. If you can't submit to the church, see, the authority of the church is greater than any individual authority. That's what Jesus Christ said. If your brother sins against you, go to him. If you go to him and you explain to him and he understands, you have won your brother. If he doesn't hear you, he said, take another person and go to him. If he refuses to listen to you, he said, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen to the church, he said, treat him as an unbeliever. Because the church is the highest authority. So if you cannot submit to the church, then it means that you are not part of the body. You can say that, oh, I am connected to the head, but that is not enough. You can't just say you have registered and you will not go for classes. You have to go for classes. Now, I'm going to give you some 5 ways to know whether you are being joined, whether you are a plug, a round plug in a square socket, or whether you are a square plug in a square socket. When I say place of planting, listen. God can take you to a place and nourish you. Then at a point, take you from there and place you in a different place. But the question is, it should be God who is taking you from there and planting you. Because place of planting doesn't mean that, let's say you come to this church, so this is your place of planting. Okay, what about if you go to Accra where there's no TMI? It means you won't go to church. Are you getting me? So what I mean is that you know a place, but you shouldn't be somebody who goes for window shopping. Go to this place, then you leave, then you go,
Then you leave. Then you go. You don't know what you are about. But God will lead you to a place where you say, look, stay here. This is where I want you to flourish. You flourish here. There are some people who will come to this ministry. They will come for God to do something in their lives. At a point, they will go. That's why I don't believe in binding people. I don't believe in that. Binding people with curses and with threats that if you leave this church, you are going to die. Who told you are going to die? If God says leave, you must leave. Because as you are leaving, God is sending somebody to come. That's why when you're leaving the church, don't talk bad about the church and don't just muddy the water, because the same time you are leaving, God is directing somebody to the place. Your usefulness has expired. Your time has expired. You are not growing there anymore. You are not growing. Your growth is stunted. So when you are overqualified for your present position, you are promoted. Promotion comes when you are overqualified for your present position. But this is the case where you are not growing. So the place where you must be connected is a place of spiritual nourishment. A place where you are growing in knowledge and grace. 2 Peter 3:18 said, but grow in the knowledge and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody was in the church and he had a dream, and the pastor had changed the members, changed their legs to a cross in the church, and he was holding a big stick and was saying that anybody who dare break and remove this chain, I will kill you, I will beat you till you die. That is a picture of a cult. Not a church, it's a cult. A place where your spiritual gift of grace is being discovered, developed, and deployed to use. There's avenue for that. There's avenue for growth. A place where your spiritual awareness is enhanced. A place where you are not placed under bondage or restricted by fear. Who will tell you that? But you see, the thing is that if God calls you to this place, this is where you'll be fruitful. This is where you'll flourish. This is where you are connected. Because you see, the oil is from the head of Aaron down to his beard, down to his garments. Let me give you a picture in Acts 15:34. See, the early church, they believed that God had to lead everybody. So everything was God's leading, not human, it's God. It's God. Acts 15:34. Okay, let's be from 32. Now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch. He said, it seemed good to Silas to remain in the church. When he says it seemed good, it means that they felt led. They saw that God was leading them. God was leading them to that particular place. that they had to stay there for the sake of the gospel. And they stayed there. That is how the movements are caused by living of the Lord. Living of the Lord. You will see that God is leading you. There are some of you, when you come here, you will feel that this is my home. Stay here. There are some of you, you will feel that I can't fit. You have some inner kata, you can't, it means it is not your home. Are you getting me? It means it's not your home. It means it's not your home. There are some people, when they come here, the teachings I teach, it goes into them like, there are some people too, it doesn't click. Because you see, you can't drink another person's breast milk. So you know by how you are receiving the word. You know that you must drink this breast milk. That's why I'm very careful. You see, when it comes to planting in a look, I'm very careful. I don't joke with that. I will never tell you that. Look, you, this young man, I think he said about this. Only two people that have told them specifically that come to this ministry. Then I told you that. Only two people. This one and then Stephen. Because the Lord asked me to tell them. I saw it clearly. I saw this logo here on his chest. And I told him that, look, you belong here. I don't care where you are. You belong here. It's not because, it's because you belong here. Yes. So I told him. And later on, he had dreams to confirm. Is that not it? So if you are here, know that it is not by accident that God brought you here. You are part of this body. Be connected. You see, be connected for growth. Otherwise, you are cheating us. Because the thing is that there is something that you must release for this the body to grow. But you are not connected. So you are denying us of something that should come from you. And you think that it is preaching. I'm not talking about preaching. When you are in place, see, when you are in place, things flow out of you. When you are in place, just by being in place, you are supplying something. He said that every part doing its share causes the body to grow. That's why I'm going to talk about how everybody should be a functional member of a local church. One of the qualities, of any serious Christian is church attendance. When I say church attendance, I mean having fellowship with believers. Even Jesus said, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue. That was his custom. He always went to the synagogue because there's power in fellowship. See, you get nourishment from the word, but you get refreshment from fellowship. Paul said, when I go to Corinth, I did not have rest in my spirit because Titus and Timothy were not there. That is the power of connection. You have rest in your spirit. It's a power of connection. I know that, what if God says this is your house, God has prepared all that you need for destiny in this house.
Oh, yes.
Yes. All that you need to fulfill your destiny, God has prepared here. He said, he told the disciples, when he was sending them 2 by 2, he said, do not move from house to house. He said, when you enter a house, whatever food is said before you eat, because that's the food for the house. So eat it. So you must be eating the food
that is cooked in this house, eat it. I say you must eat it. Eat the food. The food was prepared for you. You must eat it. You must drink your mother's breast milk. Not going about sucking people's breast milk. You go to this house. Spiritual. Meanwhile, you have food in your house. You see, there are some people, sometimes I pity them. To me, they're a prodigal son. You see, your father's house, there is food in abundance. But you are eating with the pigs. You are eating pigs' food somewhere. There are some people, you know, I was talking to somebody, you know, and I said that the person was telling me so many things. I said, listen. I said, what all that you are saying, this thing, I've already preached about all these things. I've preached about these things you are talking about. I've preached about them. I've given biblical solutions and answers to them. So you are starving in the midst of plenty. That thing that is there, but you are starving. It's like you are standing in the sea, but you are thirsty. Because of not being properly joined. So I said, look, go for the teachings and start listening to them. You will see that this thing that you are going through, there's a solution to it. But most of the time, we don't see. You see, because why not? When God sees you, God sees your counterpart. I'm not talking about marriage. God sees you as a plug. He sees the socket that you must be plugged into. He said, that's why when you divorce, God still sees you as married to your wife or your husband. When you divorce, God still sees you as married to your spouse. The other person, God doesn't see. That's what Jesus Christ said. If you divorce a woman, you cause her to commit adultery. So if you put away your spouse, unless you come together, unless there was a break in covenant, you will go and marry another person. You will not be joined. Do you know that married women who divorce, they are still called by their husband's name? They are still called by their husband's names. Some of them, sometimes they will go and change their names. God, how you change your name into your husband's name? How it happened, it was a process. That process, that thing was just a reflection of what had taken place in the spirit. Because it's like God took you and put you inside your husband. That's why he took the rib from Adam's part to he put you inside the man. So the two have become one. So when you want to separate, God still sees you. God still sees that, look, these two people I joined them. I'm talking about marriage, not relationship. It's marriage I'm talking about. It's marriage, not relationship. Once it is marriage, that's where God joins. God doesn't join relationship. He doesn't recognize relationships. You know, like, I'm talking about courtship. He doesn't recognize courtship. Courtship is not recognized in heaven. They don't know what is courtship. Oh, yes. So not until you are married, God still sees you as two singles, a brother and a sister in the Lord. When you get married, then you become one body. So as you are walking about, God sees that you are intertwined with somebody. So to separate, it does not make any difference. There are some connections that God has established in your life. Whatever you do, you are connected. It's like, let's say that this is your brother. Then you are separated. You are in the US. You are still brothers. If that connection was from God, it's still there. Let's be on our feet. Let's pray. I'm going to continue next week to talk about the joints and the ligaments, the system that God has put in place to ensure that we are knitted together and we grow together. We have to grow together. God doesn't want us to be selfish. That's why he said that we should look to each other's need, spiritual need, inclusive, so that we help one another to grow. We provoke one another unto good works. We admonish one another daily. Even as the day is approaching, we admonish, we teach one another. We forgive one another. Respect one another. He said, honor one another. He said, prefer one another. Let's pray and ask God for his grace and strength to be properly aligned, that the unity that is of Christ, the love that is of Christ, that love will be shared abroad in our hearts, that we will have fellow feeling, that we will have love for one another as believers, that we will not find it difficult walking in love towards one another. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Kowe alo asuka. Mandirebe kosh katalaba. Kobra talaba kazote nebihatos. Kibra talaba kata talaba hasuka. Bimba talaba kato tolbo koshia. Mandirebe kosa talaba ha. Mikolobo sa talaba kitolobo koshia. Likra palama sikorobo kosha. Makatalama kize kebeha. Reke telebeha sukahata. Makatinu koshiko dohose. Matileme koshia labahata. Roliata labahasa rada. That God will give us grace. That grace will be released. That we will relate with one another. When in love. That we will grow together. Till we all arrive. Till we all. Till we all. It means we all. We all. We all. Before the glory will be released, there must be a house. When Solomon finished building the temple, the glory of God was released, and the temple was filled with the glory. When Moses finished building the tabernacle, Bible says the cloud of glory invaded the tabernacle. God will release the glory when he has constituted us into a house, when he has built us together, when there's unity and harmony and love and fellowship. When we are together in one place with one accord, it came to pass on the day of Pentecost, when they were together at one place with one accord, there came the sound of a mighty rushing wind and filled all those who were sitting in the house, and the Holy Ghost filled them and they began to speak with other tongues. When there is unity and harmony and God builds us up together, that is when the glory of God is released. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the oil that was upon the head of Aaron that runs through his beard, even down to his garment, even to the hem of his garment. The blessing comes. He said, for there the Lord has commanded his blessing and life forevermore. The blessing comes when the house is properly constituted, when the house is built up, when the connections are strong, when the divine connections and joints are established and are strong, when God has done the connection, the spiritual connection, when we are properly aligned and connected, when we are jointly fitted together and we are growing into a holy habitation of the Spirit, that is when the power of God is released. He said, I saw bones scattered together. I mean, scattered in the valley, and I prophesied, and there was a noise and a rattling and a shaking, and the bones started coming together, bone to bone. Then I prophesied again, the flesh came on the bones. Then I prophesied, and the Spirit of God entered the bones, and they stood on their feet. It was an exceedingly great army. God is raising an army, but that army must be properly constituted. They must be united. They must be connected, connected to the head and connected to the body. We need the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to achieve that. the power of the Holy Spirit to achieve that, to join us, bind us together. He said, bind us together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We are praying that God will give us the grace to humble ourselves, and submit to God's leading. God's connection. You see, we are all stones, but God wants to bring us together to build a house. Sometimes there's some of the stones God will have to chisel and do a work so that we can fit properly. But it takes humility to stay through the process and to allow God to work on us. So we are praying for the grace. You see, God gives grace to the humble, but it takes the humble to ask for grace. So we are asking God for the grace. It takes grace to be humble. We are asking God that God should give us the grace to live in right alignment with the body. That we will not be selfish. We will not be thinking about ourselves. That we will think about the entire body. That we will think about the spiritual growth of one another. We will have fellow feeling. We will have that same care. He said that the body may have the same care one for another, that there may be no schism in the body. Let's pray for that grace. In the name of Jesus. Help us, O God. Help us to have the same bowels of compassion for one another as you have. In the name of Jesus. Bowels of compassion. Fellow feeling that will see your brother's trouble as your trouble, that you know that you are part of the body, that whatever you do affect the entire body. That understanding, it takes humility. Grace us, O God. Grace us in the name of Jesus. Now we are praying this last prayer for ourselves. We are praying that God should give us the wisdom and the sharp discernment to detect and to know connections and relationships and join things that he has ordained, so that we will not walk about aimlessly without power. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. Lead us, O God. Order our steps. In the name of Jesus. Order our steps. Lead us to the right people, to the right places. Lead us to the right relationships, right connections that we need for power to be released, like the plug and the sockets, that we will not be out of joint, out of sync with divine purpose, in the name of Jesus, that we will be rightly aligned with divine purpose, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We are praying this last prayer, praying for Ghana. We are asking God, let every prophetic word that has been released upon this nation come to pass. God said he's releasing prosperity to Ghana. What we are experiencing may not be prosperity, but we have to pray and ask God that what God has said, it will surely come to pass. So let's pray for this nation. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for Ghana. We pray with God that your divine purpose for this nation will be established. The reason why Ghana is the firstborn of Africa will be established, that we will take our apostolic place as leaders and firstborns of Africa, in the name of Jesus. that your prosperity anointing will fall upon Ghana because of your work and the revival. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our leaders. We pray for wisdom. We pray for strength. For the president. For his ministers. In the name of Jesus. Every good plan. Every noble idea. Every divine plan. Every godly initiative. That is in their minds. Breathe on them, O God. Let them see the light of day. In the name of Jesus, any evil plan, any selfish plan, any plan that will be inimical to our growth and development, let those plans perish and never see light of day. In the name of Jesus, let our borders be secure. In Jesus' name, let peace prevail. In the name of Jesus, we are praying for Nigeria. Pray that peace will prevail. In the name of Jesus. That the hand of God will be lifted up upon Nigeria for good. That the purpose of God will be established in Nigeria. That no bad thing will spill over from Nigeria to Ghana. We forbid that. We forbid that. In the name of Jesus. That those massacre of Christians will stop. In the name of Jesus. That God will have mercy on the church. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for what you have done in our lives. We thank you for the work you have done in our spirits. We pray for grace. Grace, O God, to abide. Abide in your presence. Pray for discernment. Discernment to see, to know Kairos moments and corresponding prophetic actions and directions. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.